Good evening, folks. This is January 24th, 2018, and it's Wednesday. It's 9 p.m. Eastern, and this is the Courtroom Observer's Call. My brain ain't all here, as you all can hear. Now, has anybody got their Constitution with them?
I do, Robert.
Would you be so kind as to read the preamble to the Constitution?
Okay. Find it here. Okay, it says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America."
Okay. Anybody have any comments on that? No? What do you all think about doing a little study of the Constitution? Any comments on that?
Robert, this is Watchdog Mike.
Yes.
Okay. Jan, when you read that, what was that last sentence that you wrote or that you said? I heard it, but it didn't sink in. And establish this Constitution. What was after that? Mine says for the United States of America. And there's two constitutions. There's the one for the United States of America, and there's one of the United States of America. Does anybody have any input on that?
Oddly enough, the title on this one is the Constitution of the United States of America, but in the body of the text, here it says, "The ordained and established this Constitution for." So that's really odd now that you brought that up.
Exactly. So where there's a duality there, a bifurcation, some kind of a bifurcation, it looks like.
Well, I think what it might say is that there was no word game until
the lawyers got involved.
Until somebody brought it up.
And the lawyers got involved when they deleted the 13th Amendment and changed everything after the First Continental Congress. I don't know if that's what you were referring to, Robert, or not, but I just wanted to bring that up.
Well, I wondered what comments I would get. I knew that was there. And so I kind of figured I'd get the comment on that. I You know, I really don't know what to say on it. I understand what people are saying between of and for. I just don't know what my true feelings are for between it, other than, you know,
the way I see it, Robert.
Well, I speak just to how I feel. I don't speak trying to use certain words because they might mean something different. And so I know that much of what I say is taken the wrong way by somebody who has either studied or plays the word game. And so there is confusion, I know, whenever I talk to people.
Okay. The way I look at this here is, it's just outlining what is underneath the first statement, the Constitution of the United States. In the preamble, it says, this is the Constitution for the United States. So, in other words, I think the for the United States has more relevance than of the United States. In other words...
Well, I agree wholeheartedly on that.
Yeah, the United States did not create this. It was the people. And they did it for the United States to keep them in line.
Right.
And I think if there ever was a controversy, I think we would have to use in the definitions portions of whatever document that we use, which we all should have definitions so that we can outline the words and use the words as we apply them. And I think that would be one of the things whereby we would have necessity to decipher between the two.
Well, we have to remember when we read the Constitution that it was written in everyday, plain, simple English with the idea that everyone understand it. But what has happened is now, in this day, if we want to truly understand it, we have to go back to the old dictionaries and look up the words to make sure that we do understand what it says. Because one word could change everything.
Oh, absolutely.
And so this is why I ask when somebody studies the Constitution that after they've read it a couple of times and gone through it, you know, paragraph by paragraph, and then start going through line by line and word by word and stopping at every word that they don't fully understand, and looking it up in a dictionary. But to do it properly, you need to have the old dictionary so that you're looking at the words that were used in that day. And I don't know how many people do that. I don't know how many people would have the old dictionaries. And so I wonder how many people who do know the Constitution have confusion on a few things where it was designed for everybody to understand it.
Right. I have a 1903 black, so I use that a lot. If this was the Constitution for the United States, now here's the dilemma. Okay. Supposedly this is from the people to the government. Now,
right.
That be it the case, in Article 13, they remove the section where there shall be no titles of nobility.
Well, our present day Amendment 13 is not the original.
Exactly.
And so,
I don't think
we need to be able to read the original to have it right in my book.
Right. And how come all these books that are being passed out, the citizens' rule books and the Constitution and stuff, they are all the ones after the First Continental Congress where they've changed a lot of the amendments and articles in there?
Well, I can't answer that other than the fact that most people believe that everything was ratified properly, and they weren't.
No, it wasn't.
And I think, and John Durash thinks, that everything above the 10th needs to be done away with. I don't know how we do that safely, because we never, if we have a constitutional convention, there's no way to know what we would end up with afterwards. Because there really is no rules to define what all can be done. I mean, that's how we have the Constitution that we have today, is because they completely redid what they first wrote.
Did you mean above, like the 1 through 10, or after 10?
Above, 11 on up.
Oh, 11, okay. 10. Okay, I understand.
From 11 on, we should get rid of, but... at the very least, we should go through all of them and look at all of them and see what they actually say, and any of them that are repugnant to the first 10, they definitely need to be done away with. And 17,
right.
I know, is one of them that's repugnant. I think
I
that...
Tried,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I tried to get a hold on the Internet of the original Constitution, and I can't get it with the original 13th Amendment, and therefore I'm sure the other ones that have been removed or redacted are in that one as well.
Well, I do have the original 13th Amendment, but I don't have any others. But
do you have
I do know the whole Constitution. Pardon?
Do you have the whole Constitution or just the 13th?
Well, I was able to find the original version of the 13th. I don't have the complete Constitution. I have the 13th. That's what I was looking for, and that's what I have. Now, other studies, I know that some of the amendments were sent out to the states for ratification. Some of them,
Robert,
changed.
Somebody needs to mute, Robert. Somebody needs to mute.
I'm looking to see where it's coming from. Looks like background on my phone. Or, no, I'm seeing also Who is 508 area code? But anyway, when they sent these amendments out, the state legislature actually rewrote some of it, and those changes were never ratified. So even though the state ratified, they did not ratify the original. And so in effect, they didn't ratify at all. They should have sent, if they felt like there was changes that needed to be made, it should have went back through to be reviewed and possibly changed before it was ratified.
Right.
I'm sure that probably happened to several of them.
Well, I know in New York State they did the same thing to us, because when I was fighting the property tax issues back in the 70s, I did a lot of research up at the law library, and I pulled down the original New York State Constitution, which I can't find anymore. But Article 1, Section 10 said that the people had, they owned their land freehold, in fee simple.
Right.
Which meant that the government doesn't have claim on your property and cannot take it for property tax. Well, then they
right.
did a change of the Constitution and took that out of there. And that is no longer within the Constitution, and they got rid
within
of it.
Within the state?
In New York
within
State Constitution, yes.
Yeah. Well, you've got to understand, too, that the state constitution must follow the boundaries of the the United States Constitution. If anything is anything in a state constitution is repugnant to the United States Constitution, it is null and void in whole.
Right. I understand
like
that, but in the original Constitution of the United States, there's not a clause in there that claims that we have the right for having our property owned fee simple.
It doesn't say it in so many words. No, it doesn't.
No. But they spelled it right out in the New York one for the original Constitution of 1786. I think, or 1777, somewhere in there. It was right after the United States Constitution.
Well, the United States Constitution, they started writing it in 1787 and then finished it signed it in 1789.
Right, okay, that's when it was. It was that around that time. My mistake.
Yeah. But, it's just like, that's one of the items of confusion, right? I hear people argue that that it is in there, just not in so many words. And I find that hard to believe, since the Constitution was written for everyone to understand, no matter the education level.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that New York new gun law is not constitutional. And
nope.
It's definitely repugnant to the...
Well, if something was lawful if something was not lawful, and then somebody wrote something in that they said made it lawful, it's still, unless the people, going back to the Declaration, which is the original foundational document, which is the cornerstone, of everything else, is that if the people don't approve of the government, they have a right and a duty to change it.
Well, they do.
And so, yeah, and so really whatever is written in the Constitution, if we the people, I don't mean capital P, I mean little p, the men and women, if we the governed don't approve of what they're doing, we have a duty and a right, you know, to speak up. And besides that, I brought this up a couple of weeks ago, and Nikki, I guess, had brought it up before on the on the Thursday night call. But the Articles of Confederation are another document that, I mean, even like John, not Durash, John Thursday night leadership, John, he's agreed that the Articles of Confederation was never ratified properly. And then it was brought to my attention also that the Confederation is mentioned in Article 6 of the Constitution, so that, you know, there are evidences right there that the Articles of Confederation and what it says still stand, just as the Declaration still stands. And, you know, with them coming before the Constitution, they're the foundational documents. And I'm sorry, if that offends the globalists in any way. I really am. You know, you don't want to create problems, but that's, you know, they're going to have to get over it, because we understand what was written. We're understanding, we're coming to understanding of what was written and what they're doing to us. Even if they wrote it in the Constitution, we can still, you know, walk the whole thing back to the Declaration, where it says that we, the governed, we have the right and the duty to change it if it's not according to the way that we said that we want to do it. We're the creators of it. And I yield. It's Jan from Kansas. I yield.
Okay,
well,
Jan.
In fact, we are the only ones with the right and the duty to change it. Supreme Court is not the ones that make changes of the Constitution in any way. It is we the people. We are the only ones.
How many is it going to take, Robert? One? Can one person do it? 10? A majority? 50%?
It's going to have to be enough to ratify it.
Well, the majority of the people are dumb as a box of rocks.
And so there lies the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is people are not educated enough on it to be relied upon to make the proper changes.
Well,
that's
yeah.
That is why the convention is so dangerous. Besides officials who want to destroy it, then you have the people that don't understand it well enough to make any decisions. So,
but around here, the people in Kansas have just been, like, even annoyed if you try to talk about it. But I stepped out this past week or so, and this week I talked to about seven people that I didn't know. They were just like in the grocery store or somewhere, you know, and I had specific articles that I said, you know, did you know this was going on? If they were standing there looking at the crackers with me, you know. And nobody didn't want to talk to me. And also I told a couple of them, that I was going to try to start a blog, and would they be interested in me letting them know if I got the blog going. And I got 2 phone numbers from people to call them when I get my blog up. So, and these are people I've never seen before, but I told them where I'm from, you know, and the schools that I went to, which are around here and all that, and told them where I live, not my address, but general, you know. And the people, I think they're getting ready. I think that the ground is getting plowed right now for us to be able to go and start, you know, like even having a meeting at the library and offering free information. Just, I mean, it's going to happen. It's coming.
Well, we need to do those things. We need to talk to people and educate them however we can. It's what I was hoping for committees of safety
okay.
to be developed easier, to where they would be more, people would be more prone to listen and learn.
Okay.
But that's,
hi.
That's been a difficult task forming committees of safety. Everybody's afraid.
Hello.
Hello.
How's everybody? Okay, I do have some good news pertaining to that. This is what I've been doing, and maybe might be helpful to each and every one of you. Number one, I have been, I went to court this week, and that subrogation, I've been writing my grievances to the on these attorneys, and that subrogation paper we put together, very, very powerful. The only thing, when he asked me, did you want me to, he wanted me to be dismissed from the case, Judge, I didn't say his name. He goes, well, he goes, you didn't say my name, so I'm taking your property. So I'm, you know, I'm doing my subrogation and my complaints and grievances all over again, following through. I got the paperwork, and I filed some other paperwork, which I have my warranty deed on my title and my name. But I will keep you abreast. What I've done this past week is I've contacted the superintendent of the school about the National Liberty Alliance. We want to get this implemented in the schools. I got 10 teachers. They're all excited. I said, look, you got to start doing this and get yourself ready and learn this, because when we get this in the school system, or we want to make it as a school project, and the kids will be, it's a work experience. We're going to put it as a work experience, because Don said once the kids get it and do this, that they will waiver their fee. But there's a other class that they have, the one that's $250, that they know how to write it, and we also want the kids, the students, and we're going to hit the colleges, okay? So they can go, a part of their class, the curriculum, has to go to, we have one, two, three. We have three courts here, and they have to rotate and go into the different courts and stuff like that also. And the wonderful thing about this is because, and I asked, who's the highest person in the court? Everybody thinks it's the sheriff. I mean, the judge. I said, no, it's the sheriff. So I said, good. I said, when you finish this class and this course, you're going to know more than these attorneys. As a matter of fact, when I was in the federal court last week, I saw two attorneys in there, and one tapped me on my shoulder. She goes, who's here representing you? I said, me. Unbeknownst to me, she was in foreclosure. I told her about this. She didn't even know that the sheriff was the highest. I said, you know what? You better change your trading. I said, you know, change your career. I said, and learn it the right way. You know? And, you know, I mean, it's just like, how? I just looked at her. I said, and I knew she was representing her. I said, how could you represent anybody else and you really can't even represent yourself, you know? I'm not even an attorney, and I did a better job than all these attorneys that go in court. When I was there, the attorney, she was all upset. She had four attorneys to go out, so I guess they basically boxed me in because there were some things I wasn't familiar with, but I said the next time I go back on the 5th, oh, I'm ready for this. And I bring witnesses with me. And I said, please take your notes. And I said, we got to get it notarized and stuff. Please jot down. And so, you know, they are finding it very fun when I go to court. So as I said, you know what? Everybody knows somebody who might be in school and educator. I just got a phone. That's why I was late calling in. And this young man, he's on the Common Council. He's a teacher, and I didn't even know this. And he was so excited. I said, please go on the website under National Liberty Alliance. Well, he's teaching like the junior high schools. And I said, you got to learn it for yourself. And I said, this is wonderful, you know. So if we could focus on the teachers, on the, even with the parents and stuff like that, you know. And there's so many. Another thing, too, I don't know, like the unemployment. Or go into the courthouses because somebody in there's always got a problem. You know? But if we could hit the schools and the community colleges or whatever, you know, and teach them the leadership. And another thing, too, what I suggested to the teacher and the superintendent for this work experience program, making learning fun. And how do you do that? Once they go over the first week, then you're going to appoint one of the students in the classroom to be the teacher. You know, just, you know, another, like maybe for like a 15, 20 minutes. So that will give them that incentive to study. You know, if they made a mistake on it, you know what I'm saying? Because if you give them a section, they're going to downpack it. You know what I'm saying? And it's exciting. And we're going to get this kicked off. And I asked everybody, I said, you know what, for what you can achieve out of this, I said, and also we want everybody to donate because it can't run by itself. And I said, and hopefully we'll be in some jobs down the road. I hear a voice, my voice echoing. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear
Hello?
You. I hear you.
My voice is echoing. I guess it's popping the line.
Interference. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. I can.
Okay. I have a question for you. That's great what you're doing. That's excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
All right. I just want to share the idea, so maybe it might help others, you know.
You know, if you could take kids and they don't know nothing, and you could start a baseball team in a little league, and you could teach these kids how to play baseball, there's no reason why you can't teach them the Constitution. And to get
exactly.
these kids fired up and their parents as well. And I think in the old days, if you look at the old days, when they needed men to fight in these wars, and when they had their meetings, their town hall meetings, they were all held at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we could find pastors that are on the ball that aren't tied in too much with the federal government, and now that Trump came in, he got rid of that that law. What was it, the Johnson law, that said that they could not politically affect their congregation without repercussions. He got rid of that, so they're able now to be able to speak politics to the congregation. And if you can get some pastor who is has history behind them, or knows anything about it and is willing to do it, that would be a good place to start, too, a lot of places.
But a lot of them are all caught up in this crazy politics and all this other mess, and they sell people out. Nobody even trusts these ministers and stuff. They're all liars.
Exactly, exactly.
Now, I wouldn't even waste my time because, you know what, that's one of the first ones I tried to approach, and I said, forget it. I wouldn't waste my time. I will deal with the parents. I will deal with the students, the teachers, and like the ones, and this one person, oh, she's phenomenal because she does the careers for the college, you know. So she's taking, I think, like about 100 kids. So we're going to get these kids ready and get them started with this program before the trip in, I think it's in April. You
how'd
know what
fire,
I'm saying?
How'd you fire them up in the
sorry?
Beginning? How did you fire them up and start it? How did you approach them? And what did you do, just approach them?
Well, see, everybody knows me. I'm an advocate because I'm always fighting for education, this and that, you know. And when people have problems, you know, I know a lot of people. So
you had your foot in the door already. Your foot was in the door.
Well, yeah, well, I've always been out there fighting for, I've been fighting an advocate for education and all that for the past 49 years, so.
Wow.
And I have a good rapport with people. And where I used to work, everybody still calls me on, you know.
God bless you.
You know.
Hey, a while ago we were talking and you brought up the fact that when you're dealing with the court systems and you have a complaint against the judge, where did you say to file that complaint? You had a very good place to do it. I can't remember.
You file it for the attorneys, you file it at the bar, the grievance committee. And for the Bar Association, they have the grievance committee. And for the judges, it's the judicial. And you make sure when you file, because no judges have, none of them have license at all. They have a juris number because they're under the law of Great Britain. You know,
okay.
It's a juris number. You have to get, and I don't think any of them really have an oath and bond. When I call, I said, what's their oath and bond? The lady goes, what's that? What do you mean, what's that?
Okay. So does a judicial grievance committee also for the judges?
They have one. You've got to file the judicial for the, against the judges, right. And this one particular one, he's been doing his job on so many people. Millions of people lost their homes behind this one judge.
Yes, we got
that
same problem in New York.
And I asked him when I was there, I said, well, I would like a common law grand jury. He goes, this is my court. I said, well, you're committing a treason because you're violating my constitutional rights. And anything over $20, I can have a common law grand jury.
Yep.
I could have a common, you know, I could have a grand jury. He goes, not in here, you won't. And I'm taking your house. And you got to be, you know, so.
That's treason against the Constitution.
Huh?
That's treason against the Constitution.
Right.
Yeah, we got the same problem here in New York, too, and it's just like, these guys are steamrolling us over, and there's no assignment, and HSBC does not have the paperwork. In fact, they even signed off of it. They had the original note, and they signed off it, and there is nobody that has the assignment. Nobody will produce the assignment. HSBC said they don't have it.
Well, see, what you need, like the subrogation, and they don't want to deal with that. This is where they were petrified. I'm going to send John and then the papers. I said, because I got a lot of stuff I got to get sent out, and I got a lot of the paperwork, the subrogation, everybody needs to write that up. And
is that
send
on the website?
No, but we put it together, so I can give you the copy, and you know, and just ask these questions. And you want the proof of claim and this and that. When did I take out a loan with you? Show me a sworn notarized affidavit, and you have to send it to them 3 times. Make sure you send it registered and certified. They're not going to answer you. She was so petrified. So now I gave her. I send them the other letter that I want the case discharged and dismissed. And I also ask for, they're my fiduciary, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And every attorney, see, because they bought the federal court, when I had to go on there, she wrote me up as a serial bankruptcy fraud. And I did not sign with good faith. First of all, what do you think? I'm stupid. I'm going to sign with my health to you. I'm not signing nothing. And see, another thing, too, like I pulled my documents. Look on your documents, and when your mortgage was changed, that's the MERS then, MERS.
When the mortgage was scanned?
Yes, where they scanned your name.
Yeah.
Okay. Who signed your name to change your mortgage?
So
if I came and put my name on your house today, what's wrong with the picture?
That's fraud. You don't have my permission.
Exactly. But see, another thing on that scam with that MERS, see, the average judgment would have never picked it out. Hide your name when they change your name. You ask for the, can I see the legal contract? Because they perpetrated the fraud. There's no contract. But behind your name, guess what doesn't appear? The date.
Okay.
That's why they want to get you in there again, so they can, you know, they want you to sign. And when I had to go for the court, what do you call it? They wanted to sit there and see if I can amend my mortgage. I said, why do I want to amend my mortgage when my house is paid for? But I'm paying my taxes and I'm paying my insurance and all that. And it's just like, so when she persisted that I would sign, I said, excuse me, can I please have your name? So she gave me her name. I said, what is your last name? I said, per orders of so-and-so, under duress, she's ordering me to sign these papers against my will, and this is not true. My house is paid for, and I reserve all my rights, and I do not want to sign these papers. I am signing it because I was ordered to sign it by so-and-so of the court. She started screaming. She ripped the paper up.
So if your house is paid for, how are they bringing you in then? What's their claim?
That's what I asked them. My house, my mortgage was cleared in 2011. And then in 2000, what was it? The credit union. They said, oh, this, you know, because I was going through a whole lot of stuff at the time because it was that PHH Mortgage who they got sued for $21 million. In the case is called, what's the case is called? It's Columbus, Georgia versus PHH Mortgage. And I said, those were the same ones that scammed me back in 2004.
Wow.
And I've been going through this, and as I said, but like I remember, because I'm the one who did my own mortgage, and I said I did it a fixed rate, no prepaid penalty. I did not include my taxes nor my house insurance because the escrow is the biggest rebuff because everybody loses a good $10,000 to $12,000 a year in escrow, and you'll never get it back. Why do
right.
I need you to pay my taxes and my insurance when I could pay that myself? You know, it's like get what you need, not what you want. And so it's like a Ponzi scheme, and you look at, like when I looked at mine, I said, oh, my God, they were changing my mortgage, and every time they change it, they use our birth bond money, and they get
right.
the money, and they sell it on to the next person. And this is a big Ponzi scheme and a business with the corporations, banks, and all that other stuff, and attorneys.
I know. But we can't prove it.
Excuse me?
We can't prove it.
Oh, yeah, you can. Who's the debt collectors?
Right.
Do you know who the debt collectors is?
Who?
It's the attorneys. And on all my papers they send me, we are here to collect the debt. Show me the proof when I made a debt with you. It's
right,
the attorney.
Right.
As a matter of fact, one had put a lien on my property. This was so unbelievable. And he put a $20,000 lien, and he owns a collection agency. And when he filed the lien on my property, what had happened? When he filed the lien, I said to him, no, I called to get their juris number because it was a partner, Levin and what was his name, Nara Levin or whatever. Guess what?
They don't have one.
One was dead for 15 years, and I was getting letters from a dead man. I said, you will go to jail. You're perpetrating a fraud.
Really? Are you serious? Oh, my God.
I kid you not. And I said, and then I said, and I want this removed off my So when I went there, they told me I had to pay $90 to get it removed. I'm not paying nothing. And when I called him, he goes, I'm not paying nothing. I said, oh, really? I need to call the police on this. He sent that check right in and took it off.
So then where do they get the authority to come in after you? I could see if they placed a $20,000 lien on it. He can take you into court to try to foreclose on your home if it was a legitimate claim, but you found out it wasn't.
Oh, he got away from it. He don't want nothing to do with me ever again.
Okay, so who's bringing you in then?
This is the original one. And see, this law firm keeps on switching up. So what I did, what I'm doing to every last one of them, everyone who sends me a letter, because first it was like 10, 15, and I started writing the grievances up. They were like, forget it. I don't want to even deal with her, you know? And then another one, she came in, well, I'm your trustee. I said, oh, congratulations. So you're acting as me, because that's what a trustee is. No, I'm not. And she's the one who wrote me up. So I sent her a, you know, and then they, so she didn't show up in court last week.
You're not the trustee over the property. The trustee is the one that's supposed to pay everything. That's
the
them.
Trustee. You know who the trustee is?
Yeah, a person who is responsible to take care of the beneficiary and pay off all the bills.
It's to make the decision in your behalf and acting as
right.
you.
Right.
Okay? She was the one who wrote the letter against me. Conflict of interest. You can't. And I said, oh. And see, the other one, when I told him I want a grant, a common law grant, oh, he was as nice as he could be. And he's like, I'm sitting, I don't want nothing to do with this woman. Okay? But this other one, oh, well, I'm going to do it. Okay, fine. So she's like, no, I'm not. I'm here. And I said, no, you're here acting as me. That's what a trustee is. You know?
Right.
You see, they try to come off acting very intimidated. They try to intimidate you.
Oh, I know.
And I'm very cordial and very respectful to them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, but I pray. I don't, I always pray to Jehovah first and foremost on everything. And, but, we definitely need anything, and make sure any letter or anything we get, make sure you respond and answer back. If it's a bill or whatever, show me proof of claim. No due process. Can I see the contract? And believe you me, that I don't care what kind of bill it is. If they don't produce that, you know, we don't have to accept anything at value. And now that when they were hacked into the credit, you know, what is that, that credit report? So all of our information is all over the world, unfortunately, and a lot of things are going to be shown up on our credit report. It's a big, ugly Ponzi scheme that's going on.
Yeah, and China bought them all.
Who?
China.
China?
Yep.
Okay.
So that's how they're getting all over the world.
Well, they were hacked into it or whatever the case is. And another thing, tomorrow, doctor, for the health issue, can we bring on Dr. Barbara Frank from 8 to 9? Will anybody be available for that?
I don't know. Is anybody else on here? Robert, you guys come back yet? Are you gone or what?
No, I'm here. Everyone is still here.
Okay, is it okay if she comes on tomorrow? Because she had a lot of people a few weeks ago, and nobody came, you know.
Well, what do you mean tomorrow?
Like from 8 to 9, you know, because they talk about the health issues, you know, especially with the flus and stuff like that. Because so many people are dying. This is very dangerous, because this new flu, not only is it bad on the lungs.
For the,
people are going into heart attacks. Oh, yeah.
For the natural healing you're talking about?
Yes, yes.
Well, as it stands right now, I don't have a speaker, so if you want to speak, do so.
Okay, so I'll bring Barbara. I'll tell her to come on tomorrow, definitely.
Great. That would be
okay.
Great.
All right, cause, and another thing, too, she has a lot of people, so we could maybe get people even signed up under National Liberty Alliance because everybody's going through some kind of situation, okay?
Well.
You know, and, I mean, it has to be broadened out because people want to know, and it's like, well, what is she doing? And I couldn't believe this time I had like 7 people that came to court, you know?
Well, you do know that this deadly flu is caused by bad vaccines.
Oh, absolutely. I would never take a vaccine again because in 96, nope. That was my last vaccine. And I ended up in the hospital for 3 weeks on the respirator, and they told me I would have to be on an oxygen tank for the rest of my life. That was it. And I do like the vitamin C's, the crystal vitamin C's and the cowboy oil because that's good for brain food. It helps heal the berries and stuff like that. Also, another thing, too, even for high blood pressure and all that, and
yep.
It helps is the cream of tartar and lemon. It brings your pressure and stuff right down. And cream of tartar is also good. I just heard, what was it, cream of tartar, ginger, and orange juice. And it cleans out your, it prevents the gallbladder attacks. I think it helps your liver and your kidneys. And I was telling the doctor yesterday, and he goes, yeah, all those are, you know, they're always writing down my remedies and stuff too. Because I said, I've been sick for 35 years. I've had 5 cardiac arrest cancer. I've had over 29 operations and all, and I bounced back, and I thank God I've lost over 100 pounds. And that baking soda and lemon water, phenomenal. I can't believe I've lost 100 pounds in the past 2 years. And this is the first time in life I wasn't even trying to lose it, but it was like the baking soda without the aluminum. And if you got a Food World out in your area, the baking soda is 99 cents. Because I was going to the health food store, and it was like $4. And just do lemon water every day. Drink that, the alkalines. And that's a great prevention of prostate cancer. It kills a lot of the cancer cells in your body.
Well, bring all the information to the call tomorrow evening. And
okay.
Make sure everybody knows.
At 8 o'clock. Okay, definitely, at this number.
All
right. Alrighty. Is there anything
else? Well, at this
but
time...
But I will get those papers.
At this time, we're just about at the end of the hour. But I think next week for the courtroom observers, we're going to start delving into the Constitution more and get some more conversations going about it.
Oh, and I forgot one other thing. We have 6 sheriffs in our area. I got a hold of one. I got to get the book for him because I don't know who the other ones are, but I guess they know of each other. And I found that out this week, too. Because when I asked when I was in the court, I said, is there a sheriff in the courtroom? He said, no, we don't have no sheriffs. He said, they done away with sheriffs 25 years ago in Connecticut.
Hmm. Well, I knew they had done that unconstitutionally.
Mm. Well, we have 6 in our area now. I found that out this week, too. So.
Have they been given the full authority of the sheriff, or are they just...
No, because they don't know their job.
Yeah.
Nope, they don't know their job.
Well, I mean...
Because I want him to go to court with me, but he had something that, you know, he had a family crisis he had to attend to, so I understood that.
Well, there's one state where they've taken all the arrest power away from the sheriff, and all they do is guard the prisoners in the jails.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm.
What state is that?
I believe it's Delaware.
And that's a little state. Yeah, that's, wait a minute. That's the second to the small state in the United States.
Yeah, but maybe it's, maybe that's what Connecticut is doing too, with the six that they have.
No, they're, no, no.
No?
Mm-mm. No, see, we got a whole lot of marshals.
That's like Alaska. Marshals.
Yeah. But some of the people, they do know the law about the sheriff, though.
Well, the sheriffs, probably 90% of them know the Constitution, just all well and good. However, they've placed the sheriff under the governor and of the state, and they've put rules on them, like they've got to follow the orders of the judges and what the state wants, and so they're between a rock and a hard place. In other words, they may want to enforce the Constitution, but they also know if they do, they'll lose their job, and they need to feed their families.
Well, no, these people, well, some of them, yeah. But most of them don't know their job, unfortunately, because even with the attorneys, they don't know which end is up. I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, I know the attorneys don't know.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. I, you know what? I felt bad what they did to me. But I said, oh, wow, thank you, Job. It was very empowering, like, wow.
Well, I would think after a while they grow tired of trying to take your property and you just keep fighting them. I would think that after a while they'd throw their hands up and just dismiss everything.
Well, it almost came to that. And again, I'm filing it again, you know, because they have to answer. You know, anytime you file, they have to answer.
Yep. But after a while, on a lot of things, they just throw their hands up and throw it out because
it doesn't work their time anymore. Well, as a matter of fact, next week when I go back to court, I'm going to try to bring 20 people, you know? And see, they number one, they didn't want to see me in there because I'm always bringing witnesses in there.
Yep.
You know, and they're writing.
And
that's
what scares them about courtroom observers.
Yeah. And I met some other people that I knew in there too, which I got their numbers, and two have called me. Yeah. So, but this is good. You know, we're keeping up the fight here. It's just like, it's catching on. And you know the nice, wonderful thing? When I call people about it, people are calling and responding. And it's like, what is this you're talking about? Now they want to know about it. That's great.
Well, up to this time, Trump has filled, I think it was 23 or 24 vacancies for judges, and one for the Supreme Court, and he's got a little over 100 more to go of vacancies, and he's filling them with conservatives.
Well, one guy he tried to put in there who didn't even know. I mean...
Well, that's fine. He'd never tried a case. He didn't.
Never tried a case. He never even written a case. Come on now.
But that's happened before. That's happened before. If somebody knows the law and has a and knows common law,
I wouldn't want to be tried.
They can be placed in the Supreme Court. It's legal.
I'd be afraid to death because number one, if people's like crazy Trump, you know what he's saying is the truth in his mind, and there's a lot of people that think just like him.
Let me tell you, the truth that he speaks is the truth. I know you don't like him, but I'll disagree with you on that wholeheartedly because he is doing a fantastic job.
Well, as I said, he's very offensive to me. And as I said, even when he came here,
before it goes any further, though, we're not going to argue about that. I'm going to close this call off.
Okay, well, you have a good night.
We'll talk to you later.
Okay.